you. My topic is use an innovative climate smart water management system to reduce lake use. I guess it's because the climate is changing. I'm going to go get for the last in our area or southwestern Ontario, even in the world, Ontario actually is we global warming or whatever it is, our climate changing quite a bit. Since I was there 30-some years, we definitely we got drier, and also not only that, irregular, you know, in terms of rainfall. So that's become very important because the rainfall, the impact a lot of stuff in there, you and all other stuff, since you got the effect, then also the impact the environment or the problem in there, potential leaching, because the fertilizer you apply in there, if you do not have enough rainfall, they're going to become residual, become leaching. So plus, yield is so important. If we want to get into the grower to accept this one, you need to have irrigation. But the groundwater is so low, very difficult. So one thing we could do in our area, we use our rainfall. We calculate water balance. Off-season, so much rainfall. If you can capture that rainfall, water reuse, that's exactly what we try to do. We call the water reuse, and that's water recycling, control drainage, sub-irrigation. Control drainage mainly because all the flow nutrient running through the water in there. So if you can capture the water, block the water a little bit, and then you will be able to, you know, improve the water quality. And I'm going to run through actually quite a few different combination of experiments we've been running. And so it's going to more link to this, the water recycling. And first one is would be, this is in the SS Conservation Authority. We cooperate with them. And at this demonstration farm, we build a reservoir to look at the P and N loss. And we're going to talk about drainage control only with crop performance in no-till conventional till. That's where would be the, again, we put into the grower, you know, the our area. We have two conventional grower. One is no-till. So we implement some of that, our setup in there. And the other one is a third grower is a tomato grower, and they want, because tomato is a horticulture crop, yield is very important, so they do the sub-irrigation. So this particular sub-irrigation. And this one is right in our station in there. We got very detailed of chemical fertilizer, liquid cattle manure, salted cattle manure, and we try to see what manure apply effect on the yield and water quality. Of course, this one in here is very important. We use an P-based, and it's not a nitrogen-based, because we know phosphorus always build up in there. So it's important. We have to look at the, you know, that aspect. And as I mentioned, this is a water recycling reservoir. So we build a reservoir in there to capture the water. And look at this, our climate, even before climate change, this is our potential evaporation. This is rainfall. During this period, we always need the supplemental irrigation in here. And this one is the recharge. This period is the recharge in here during the spring, and a lot of water could recharge. So not to consider, you know, the climate change is already in this kind of condition. When climate change, this portion even worse. We got deficit even worse in there. And if you look at here, this is where the, you know, there's a period, well, back in very early stage in our area, they call the banana belt, even in there. It's very similar to the California latitude in there, but it's very dry. But the rainfall was increased all the way up to this, then it dropped very quick. Now they're going back a little bit. So we're about 750 to 800 millimeter annual. But the rainfall distribution is so ununiform. And as I say, we do very thorough water balancing. From our water balance in there, we found out the precipitation, total rainfall get in there, and transpiration about 55%. Runoff, surface runoff about 8%. And this subsurface runoff is a big one in there, about 30-some percent in here. Because we know subsurface have that high component in here, that's why it's very good to capture that subsurface, because our soil is Brookston clay. Some very high clay loam, 75% area is Brookston clay. They always have subsurface, so they drain the water out. So what is the off-season? They drain the water out, which is fine. But the summertime, you drain the water, you don't want it. But since off-season has so much rainfall, we capture that off-season, that rainfall. So put in the reservoir, okay? And the drainage control water cycling. So this is what the drainage control. Our tile is about 70 centimeter depth. So we tried unfortunately, we cannot, not like in Michigan and a lot of other areas, the tires about a meter and a half even, so you can have better control. So we control it to a certain point. 30 centimeters below the soil surface, we have to watch it. Because you control that in there, you could create surface runoff because of moisture. So we do not want to create surface runoff. So we have limited the, you know, control. But even the limited control, we're going to show you in the field. In our field with two of grow in there, winter time, we only put 5 centimeters. Even the 5 centimeter control, you have to think about it. Water's continued flow. And that accumulation of reduction of nitrate is still up to 20-25%, even just 5 centimeter control in there. And this is a reservoir we dig. And of course, when we calculated this, we knew, you know, what the depth we wanted, and 0.35 hectare for each. We got 2.75. So we're using this as a, you can, you know, have a different depth in there. This originally we used tipping bucket rain gauge. So all the water coming in, we use tipping bucket. We calibrate it and we collect every drop of water and we send to the auto sample. And this is what tipping bucket rain gauge looks like. And if you look at the total flow volume during the periods in there, it's about 1170. That's a millimeter. And the CDS we control, as I say, we control very limited. We cannot control that high. So total wise, it's saved a little bit. But they control a lot of subsurface, increase the surface. But this one is a surface plus subsurface. And in flow nitrate concentration, and this is regular free drainage, 8.4, and CDS, slightly different. Not a concentration, it's mainly the water dilution. You've got, you know, more, you know, water, you know, going to the control chamber in there. And the reservoir, obviously, if you have reservoir in there, that concentration is very low. So in our case, if you really have a water recycling put in there, you're not going to the lake in there. So this is really the one, you know, basically you cannot discharge anything. Very low. Even water recycling back in here, nitrogen will put it back in the, you know, in the crop anyway. And nitrate loss, 98.77. That's quite a bit, even if you look at the, you know, the tire that we have in here. And P concentration, again, slightly, not a big difference in here, but slightly lower. And this is dissolved phosphorus in there. So I would say total phosphorus is about 12%. Particularly this one is more in the particular phosphorus, because our clay soil, they have a crack in there. So particular phosphorus, that's where it affects the most. Other phosphorus, dissolved and undissolved, not as big. Very small. So the conclusion of this part in the regular free drainage, if you look at it, 2% was account for surface runoff. Because of that, surface runoff is not very big. That's why we can control a little bit, you know, because our area, most of it is the subsurface. And subsurface is 98% in the regular free drainage. But once you control drainage, that's why I mentioned we increased, but they increased to 14%. But we reduced quite a bit, you know, and in the subsurface. So subsurface is only 86%, not like in the regular free drainage. That mainly because of our soil and tire depth. CDS reservoir produced similar TDP and the DRP, and but as I mentioned, it's really more particular phosphorus to reduce. Therefore, the total reduced 12% relative to the regular free drainage. And particular phosphorus account for 80% of TP loss for CDS. For regular free drainage of total, for P loss is 5%. And remember I said nitrogen 2%, phosphorus 5%. Phosphorus considered a lot of the surface still because we do not have much surface runoff in those years when we apply. And for CDS, about 30% of total soil P loss was in surface runoff. That's because we control it, so they push that up a little bit in there. But that's why we have a limited control. If you push it too high, that would be create so much surface runoff, then you defeat the purpose. You reduce the surface and subsurface and increase the surface, the total end up no different. That's no use anyway. So we have to make sure that's not the case. Now we're going to the farm scale. I'm talking about this one, tillage with the grower. This one again is we directly go into the field. We calibrate the field. It's 2 hectare field, very big, so we have to calibrate tipping bucket rain gauge. And we set up this stuff in there in that grower field. And this is tipping bucket rain gauge. And this is the calibration we have. And if you look at the nitrate, generally speaking, free drainage has slightly higher nitrate in here, concentration. Okay, control a little bit less. Control. That means control drainage control. Okay, and the till in the conventional till side, similar, I guess, in terms of free drainage, without drainage control, have higher concentration. And the phosphor, this is a total phosphor. And again, depend on where you are, but and same thing, you know, they have slightly higher in the free drainage. And this is a conventional till, and actually it's very similar, not as much as different. But again, we originally wasn't even expect to have concentration a bit different. We're more in the flow because that's what we want to control. Flow time concentration is total loading. And the different nutrient loss, this one looks very busy, but just take a look at this is drainage control, okay, and percentage effect. I mean, the increase 6.7%. This one, particular one, is nitrogen. This is the phosphor in here. This is three different kind of grower, as I mentioned, no-till, conventional till, and also one of the is a tomato grower, control drainage stabilization. So this field study, the conclusion would be that regular drainage, because in the big grower field, very hard to get to have them because they do not get the water. You know, you have to have them dig the reservoir, and they're not easy. So we say, okay, you just drainage control. And that's from flow rate concentration by 13%, 12.8% relative to the regular drainage. That's conventional till, you know, that's where they increase, reduce the concentration. And no-till reduced 12.8. And CD reduced total nitrate loss because of this concentration plus a flow. And 13.2% reduced, 16.3%. As I mentioned, because of this is only drainage control only, summertime, yes, we raise a little bit higher. Summer do not have much rainfall anyway. Wintertime, we put in about 5 centimeters. So in this particular one, but in our field plot in there, we control it. We can get even higher reduction in here. And the yield, not a big difference because it really did not get much water in there. And CDS reduced flow weight P concentration 6.9 in the conventional 1.3 is small. And in terms of flow, because of that, they reduced up to 7.1 in the no-till, 25% conventional till reduced much more. This one is a tomato, is a control drainage sub-irrigation because the tomato is a horticulture crop. So that area, the growers are very keen because tomato, they can, if you increase the price, you get a very good profit in there. And this is accumulated flow. It's not a big difference initially, but flow is not a big difference here because the reason you have to realize the control drainage sub-irrigation, you put more water in there. So even for more water, they do not create more. So that in relative term, really, it's a help. Because that water you put in there, you increase the yield. Okay, that's where you want it. And the concentration, and that's where the regular free drainage had a higher concentration because, as I mentioned, mainly the dilution effect a little bit, or the crop uptake. So I ended up the CDS had a lower concentration. And the total cumulative loss, again, deer had much higher because of that flow. And so a control drainage sub-irrigation reduced flow weight of nitrate concentration 37% relative to regular free drainage. And control drainage sub-irrigation therefore reduced total nitrate 38% in this particular case. And the increased tomato yield 11 to 35%. And also that grower, they also rotated with corn as well. Corn, they have 64%. This 11 to 25% increase would be much more. We know that we can get about 60% because of heat. When you try to put the sub-irrigation and non-irrigation, the maturity is different. And if they harvest based on the maturity, harvested you know earlier, then that means CDS will have much higher. They waited a little bit longer with the other one at the same time, so a lot of rotten. So I end up, that's why it got lower in there, because they have large scale. They don't want to just particular harvest that particular plot. Okay, now we come to the our tomato. The Heinz is right like in Leamington. We have tomato growing there. We use a drip irrigation. Again, because of our setup in there and our control drainage, the water recycling. So ended up, this only one right now that tapped to the Lake Erie. We're close to Lake Erie. Because of our study in there, they all the grow get together. They say, okay, we could not get the water. Now they're going to the Lake Erie. They use the environmental assessment, get everything in there. So ended up, now they can get water. And basically, you can see a big difference in there. We went to the clay soil grow and sandy soil grow, and all irrigation have very high profit in there. If you're talking about money in there, convert anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 per hectare with a drip irrigation. And of course, they increase the nutrient use efficiency as well. And tomato, this nutrient use efficient, NPK, all of them drip irrigation increase the nutrient use efficiency. This right in our experimental plot in Harrow Research Station. We have extensive setup in here, as I mentioned. We have 16 plots, 32 auto samples, one in the surface, one in the subsurface, continue monitoring this one, 24 hours in here. We use liquid cattle manure, and right now this is since 2008, now it's 2016. So this is our 10th year in here, and we have a very detail of this. I think yesterday one of my colleagues did you present one of this data in here. This again, this is, if you look at control drainage sub-irrigation, generally is lower. Any free lower one, high, see total nitrate loss, any control is always lower, right? And even with the phosphor as well. The yield actually, and again, liquid cattle manure depends on. One year we apply, and because of the rainfall, so a lot of us volatile and ended up nitrogen going out, and that's why yield is very low. Generally, if you apply the right time and they did not have the water problem in there and rainfall problem, yield would not be too bad. So the benefit of new climate, and summarizing there, plot scale, reduced P loss 12 to 15%, nitrate loss 25%, soybean increased 50 to 90%. That's in our Assets Conservation Authority. We increased that yield quite a bit. And the large scale, even in the recently research from Ohio, drainage control reduced P loss anywhere from 40 to 65%. And that's Kevin King. They have all the data to show that. Thank you.